Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast,
where we answer the questions you want to hear about parenthood
and provide you with real, honest advice for every stage of your parenting journey.
Whether you're a parent-to-be, a new mum like me, navigating those sleepless nights,
or a more experienced parent facing the challenges of raising older kids like me.
We've got you covered with relatable stories, expert insights, and plenty of laughs along the way.
So grab your headphones, a cup of coffee, or maybe something stronger.
And let's get real about parenting.
We're not going to be sugarcoating anything. From punamis to piles, nothing is off limits at Mum's the Word.
It's a podcast for all the parents out there, our own little club.
Mum's the Word.
Listen wherever you get your podcast from.
And hit follow so you don't miss an episode.
I'm going to be DJing the ice skating rink.
Whoa! Oh, please say you're going to MC it.
What should I say? This will be funny.
Well, you have to like, pick people out, like, girl in the red jumper.
How are you doing? And welcome back to Loose Lips with me, Robin Richford.
And me, Sophie Brown.
Each week we dive into another topic. And if you are new around here, it's so lovely to have you. And if you're a regular, you will know that we jump into pretty much everything and anything that you're probably already talking about over a glass of wine with your pals. I said pals, Soph. Why did I say pals?
Pals. Do you not? Is that not? No, I like, I say pals. No?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's quite like... You and your pals.
Maybe I don't. I've been right. You and me pals.
Yeah, you and your pals. Anyway, that's exactly what it is. So basically me and Soph sit and have a little ching-wag and hopefully give you some, I guess, little nuggets to kind of go away with and think about as well, because we like to kind of touch on some things that I guess maybe it's not as well known to kind of talk about, like finance, and we need to get into ovaries as well, Soph. That's on our list, isn't it?
Yeah, top priority, ovaries. We need to revisit that. Not even revisit.
Top priority.
Top priority.
I love it. Well, this week, what have you been up to, Soph?
Well, it's very weird today because I can't see Robin, by the way, everyone. She's elusive. She is in a studio somewhere. I can hear her and she can see me, and I don't know how I feel about that. But yeah, I'm just looking at myself this whole time.
Listen, Soph, let's be honest, you'd rather look at yourself.
Actually, I have a question for you. How much do you look at yourself when you do these things, and how much do you look at me?
What the fuck?
I reckon it's 70-30 that I look at myself 70.
There is literally no surprise to anyone listening.
It's not even like, I suppose I am quite vain, but I don't know.
You know what? I've actually learned though, like through the years, like not to look at myself. Right, so here is a bugbear of mine actually. Oh. Here we go. I'm unpacking right now. You know when someone's doing an Instagram story and they're clearly looking at themselves instead of down the lens? That's a bugbear.
You're a professional though. Like, I think I look at myself, and that's not like a vain thing on Instagram stories. That's like I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, but then you feel like you're talking to yourself because you're literally just staring at your own face.
Oh God, I don't think I talk through the lens though. Maybe I need to have a look at that.
I actually don't know whether you do or not, but I'd love it if I actually knew in this moment to be like, yes, you do this, but I actually don't know.
I think I probably do look at myself because I don't look down the lens. I also look at myself because like a lot of the talking stuff I do, or it might be like look fantastic stuff where I'm like showing something. So I need to see what I'm doing. I don't know. I look at myself.
You just said look fantastic. I honestly thought you were talking about yourself for a second when you were like, yeah, I'm just like saying to myself, like, look fantastic.
I mean, no, the brand, well, the online marketplace. There are other online marketplaces available. I do have a discount code for that one, though.
Oh, my God. She's not even joking either.
No, I mean, anyway, I've got hot chocolate as well. I've got my first winter event tonight. I'm feeling
happy.
Yeah.
What are you going to?
It's Freight Island, like a bar. It's a really good concept in Manchester. It's like a inside outside, loads of different vendors, which I love. You can get food from different places, drinks. But they're doing their like winter lights and trail thing. So it's like the PR night for that. So it'd be like, you know, mulled wine and nice food.
Oh,
and
cute.
Yeah.
Do you know love what? It. I hate to say it, but I'm kind of on that vibe now. I've been fighting it, I feel like, for the last month when people were like, you know, Halloween's over, get the tree up. I'm like, absolutely not. No. But actually now I'm starting to kind of be like, you know what? Christmas is coming. I'm not going to fight it anymore. And I'll get myself pissed on mulled wine.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel now. I'm like batten down the hatches. I mean, I say that I'm still out and about, but I was looking at Christmas trees the other day. Like I never even get Christmas tree for my flat because I always go home for quite a long time at Christmas. But I'm like, you've got to do something. Even if I decorate like a little bit, I've got to do something. Can't be that person.
Oh my gosh, it's so off. If you do not have a Christmas tree, are you joking?
No,
absolutely not.
I've never
no,
had a tree.
You have to have a tree.
I think the last tree I had, like in Manchester, in my flat, was when I first moved to Manchester because my flatmate got one, I think. So maybe almost 7 years ago. I've never had one in mine.
Woo! That's the best bit.
I know.
I love it. I do remember, though, my housemates at one point, I was like the flatmate that did buy the Christmas tree, you know, one of them. And I remember them being like, I don't want to spend, like, I think it was like £20 each or something for this tree. And I was like, guys, are you shitting me? Like, come on, like, less of the grinching. And that's someone that doesn't, I don't tend to really bother with Christmas until about December. First week of December is my kind of like, okay, I'll get into it now. But, I mean, you got to have a tree, surely.
Okay, I'll get one. You
well,
swayed
that was
me.
That. I'm going to come to your house in December and I swear to God there better be a tree there.
Okay, all right, I'll sort it out. I want some lights and things as well. It's going to get fully festive. I won't have anything.
I'll be like, oh, is it July in here? Is it July? I'm kind of getting into it. Basically, I'm going to a place in Glasgow to turn the Christmas lights on at the weekend.
Oh, gal. Go on.
How hilarious.
I love that. I'm trying to think of like other people that turn on Christmas lights.
Very important people, Soph, is what you're thinking.
Yeah,
your
I was
head.
Trying to be yes. the caliber yes. of...
Yes, the caliber is high, okay? Other Scottish people were not available, all right? So...
that is amazing. I love that. That's wicked. Aww.
Anyway, yeah, I'm going to turn the lights on and I'm going to be DJing the... which I'm actually really looking forward to, be fair. I'm going to be DJing the ice skating rink.
Whoa!
For like a few dates in December, which is like the main one in Glasgow. And I'm actually looking forward to it. It's like a Friday night party. It's going to be like...
I rate that. That would be really fun.
Yeah,
you can
I am.
Watch
I
mean, everyone just hit the floor as well.
I know. I did think actually, I was like, maybe I shouldn't like play like too fast of a tune because maybe that would just encourage, do you know what I mean?
Like, get some drum and bass on. Like,
yeah.
This. Like, let's go.
Let's do this. Imagine me playing drum and bass.
Oh, see, I love drum and bass. I really like ice skating. And at this place, Freight Island, I don't know if they've got it this year, but a couple of years ago we went and I just get a bit cocky. Like, especially if I'm like, if it's like a mixed group with guys as well, like I'm just, I don't know, I get a bit tomboy. We were pelting it down this tiny ice rink and we were up, you know, the penguins are supposed to push the kids, they're supposed to like help them thing. We were like holding, like pushing each other with them, like at full speed. I was so bruised the next day, but it was worth it.
No, I did love it, to be fair. But I just don't know that I'm very good at it. Like, I feel like some people just have a knack for ice skating, don't they? And my dad's terrified of it, so he will never come on the ice. Like, he's like, absolutely not. I think he did it one time and was like, never.
Oh dear. No, my dad wouldn't. I mean, my dad's 6'3", and I think he's always said now, like, at this point, it's not good if he falls over. He's got a lot further to fall. That's what he always says. And I'm like, yeah, fair play. But I think it's because I used to rollerblade a bit, like at like roller discos.
She was one of them.
It's not too dissimilar.
No, it's true. It's true. Well, if you fancy a little trip to Glasgow, I'll be there. Uns.
Yes, get
your ice skating going.
Oh, please say you're going to MC it.
Like, yeah, I am.
Yes.
What should I say? This will be funny.
Well, you have to like pick people out, like, girl in the red jumper.
Shut up. Joking. Girl in the red jumper. Those are great moves.
Let's take that bit out.
No, that is going in. In fact, I want that to be the promo. Get that at the beginning.
I was going to say, let me see you. I don't know. Let me see you skate. I think I should be there emceeing.
I'm DJ, just wondering why DJ I've got Robin the gig, and... to be honest. I'm wondering why you don't have the gig is what I'm thinking.
Unbelievable. They're missing out. They're really missing a trick there.
Let me see you skate. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do. That's what it's like. I fucking love MCs. Oh, dear. I'm literally crying now. Thanks a lot.
Oh, gosh. Do you know what's the funniest thing? We're in such a giggly mood today, but I feel like we've actually picked like quite a serious topic.
I know. Maybe we can, it always ends up, you know, we go on a roller coaster in these episodes. We cry, we laugh.
We actually do though. And it is so nice, you know, because I think, do you know what this is like? This is what I love about the pods. I feel like even listening and as we're chatting it through, it's almost like going on a night out with your friend. So then you just feel so like, it's not lethargic, is it? Cathartic. It's cathartic is the word I'm looking for. It's good for the soul.
Is that what that means? Cathartic? No, you might be right.
I might be wrong. Oh, producer Meg says, Robin, you're right.
Thank you, Meg.
We are jumping into our topic this week, which is, I'm not going to beat about the bush, difficult people. Do you know what? This has actually been a thing on TikTok, you know, like the kind of like point of views or like relatable content. And it's like that difficult person in work or that difficult person in the street or that difficult person in social. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I find it hard. Do you know, it's quite an interesting one, right? I wonder if people know that they're being difficult in that moment or because, you know, sometimes like when you're in, like, be honest, Soph, I'm sure you've done this. You know, like when you're in a bit of a huff.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, just because of life or whatever. And then someone probably says something that is absolutely, totally reasonable to you. But actually, you're just like a little bit more, like cause a bit more friction than you normally would for said request.
Oh, God, yeah. I do that all the time. Yeah.
Every time I say, shall we record? So she's like, no.
No, I am. You're right. I think, right, if I was to, maybe we can rank them, but like, I just feel like those people were almost having an opinion for opinion's sake. And it's like the opposite of what yours is. Like, rather than just either letting it go or being like, speaking out with the other person, they're just like, this is it. And that's, I don't know.
I do get it because I think what you're trying to say is like, there's a difference, isn't there? If someone just doesn't have the same opinion as you or someone that's deliberately going against what you're trying to say. I mean, my expression all the time is like the classic one of like, you're just saying black because I've said white. Like, it's not actually that you believe that, or even if you do in terms of like the way you're articulating it, like it's not coming across very well.
Yeah, exactly that. When it's for the sake of it, like sometimes I think you can really easily recognize when someone's just doing it to annoy you, which makes it even more like aggressive. But
I wonder how you like define a challenging person. Like, have you ever had one like that's in your life, like quite constantly, you know, like a colleague, for instance? A colleague, I think, is a perfect example because I feel like if you have like a difficult friend, they tend not to be your friend for very long.
Yeah.
But like a colleague, there's nothing you can do.
That's such a good point. Like, especially with you spend so much time with them and you can't just eradicate them from your life. Like with friends, I would say though, like, I'd say as I've got older, like especially recently, there's definitely been friendships that I've kind of not even cut off, but I've just kind of let them, you know, go by the wayside because I'm like, they are a bit of a difficult person in my life or they're causing a bit of ag. But I think as you get older, like you just want a small circle. But at work, you have to put up with them day in, day out. I think work really helps you put up with difficult people.
Yeah, I almost feel like it's like exposure therapy.
Yeah, for training ground that never ends.
Yeah, dealing with idiots. The thing is they're just like, what I find hard with a challenging person is, like you say, if you have to deal with them day in, day out, it's exhausting. Like, I just am like, this is just, anything that could have taken 3 minutes is now a 45-minute discussion.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no. And I honestly think that when I was younger, I was definitely more tolerant, I think. I think there's something, like you say, about even, in, obviously you were talking about your friendship group, but I think there's something in, like, colleagues as well, where I just think you get to a point where you're just like, are you joking? And what's a shame is then if they have like a very valid point, it's very hard to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's been moments where you're like, okay, that's just, you know, you're just being difficult for difficult's sake. So then I think sometimes when they have an absolutely, you know, valid point, even if you don't agree with it, it's really hard then to take it on board. But then I guess that's the inner work that we have to do. So
the work, yeah, exactly. My hardest thing, I think, is when like I find a person difficult and then like no one, if like no one agrees with me and I'm like, how is no one seeing this? Like sometimes, I don't know, maybe then that's on me or maybe they've just not like identified it yet. Like I feel like it's one of those wins sometimes, you know, when you've got a friend and they're like, yeah, no, they're really nice. And you're like, no, they're not. Like, they did this. I'm not sure about them. And you've got, like, a feeling. And then finally something happens and your friend's like, oh, my God, yeah, no, you were right. It's like, yep, I know.
So it's like, you can just drop my award off. Thank you very much.
But it's frustrating, though, when, like, yeah, you think, like, I've had that with friends where, like, I feel like, because everybody has different, obviously, like, everybody's personalities clash with different people, or, like, people's boundaries are different. But, like, you know, when you identify, like, you think someone's difficult, like, that's really annoying when you're, like, telling a friend about a situation that's happened. And they're like, oh, that doesn't, like, nothing seems wrong with that. It's like, no, even if you just pretend to back me right now, that's what I need. Like, it's the most frustrating thing, I think, when other people don't see.
Yeah, I actually had this discussion. I think it was with my mum, and basically it was something my sister was going through. Now my sister's only 13, and I was like trying to teach her. So I was like basically trying to say to her, no, like it was like maybe a problem with a friend or whatever. And I was like, no, you should approach it in this way, X, Y, and Z. And my mum was like, Robin, you have to learn that sometimes people just want you to agree with them in that moment because it makes them feel better. Like, stop. And I was like, oh gosh, she's actually so right.
Hello, my name is Mark Thompson, your guide aboard the Constellation Station podcast. Tune in every Monday for your weekly guide to all things going on in the skies above the UK that week. From meteor showers to comets and eclipses to supernova explosions, I will have it all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts from. But until then, let's hope for some clear skies.
It must be because you've got a younger sister that's 13. I would kind of love that in some ways, because not that I wouldn't love it in others. What I mean is like the fact you said there about almost like trying to teach her stuff, because I'm like, I want kids in the future, but I'm like, I feel like I'll have forgotten all this stuff now. Like, do you ever think that where you're like, something will happen and I'll be like, right, I want to remember that so that I can like teach my kid that in the future, or like I need to bank that because I'm like, right, that's really useful information, or you were right about something there and you can identify that next time. Probably will forget, but you get to like have those conversations with her now. Like, I bet it's kind of,
oh, it's amazing,
but also I bet it's a bit scary because this world at the moment is like,
ooh. Yeah, what I find hard is like you're growing as a person, and I imagine this is how a parent feels, right? So you're growing as a person, so your opinions change as time goes on, which means that what you tell them now, you might not actually think, you know, in like a few years' time, but yet their brains are like, they're such like a impressionable age. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Basically, when you say, they're just like soaking up like a little sponge. And so that's...
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The scary part is if I say something so, like, with all my chest, with all my heart, and I truly believe it, and then they soak it all up, then I feel responsible if in a year's time, then I don't feel that way. And I think that must be what's so hard about being a parent.
That's such a good point.
So my mum had me at 21, right, which is pretty young. I'd say she was still growing, and like, wow. It's so interesting even now. So she's, you know, in her 50s now. So she had my sister when she was 40, which is such a big difference. And now she is struggling in a different, not struggling, but she finds it difficult in a different way, because now what happens is she comes in with what she thinks is right. And then I come in with a completely different perspective, because I've lived a very different life to my mom. I've traveled and, you know what I mean, I've lived away from home for a long time. So I come in with another perspective, and then she's like, well, now I don't fucking know what I believe anymore. And so it's really hard. It is hard with, like, the younger generation, and a lot of pressure.
Oh my gosh, so much. And I feel like, especially at school, you deal with difficult people. And I went to an all-girls school, which I personally wouldn't want to send my kids to single-sex school, because I didn't enjoy it. My brother didn't enjoy it. It started out all right, but I just think that it was, some people thrived in it. Great. You know, like, a lot of my friends say things like, oh, well, we never had to worry about, you know, looking good every day, or like doing, you know, our makeup. And we weren't like just not distracted by boys, but do you know what I mean? Like, we were with girls all the time, all day. But I would say kind of on the contrary, because girls can be so horrific. And it was so cliquey, but you have to deal with difficult people there. And actually, it's kind of like the workplace, but worse, because you're a lot younger and you don't really know how to deal with it. But if you have people like that around you all the time, day to day, it's really difficult. Like, I remember being around girls that were like really horrible to me, and you couldn't really do anything about it. Like, you just had to deal with it day in, day out. And like, I feel like that shapes who you are and how you deal with difficult people when you're older.
Yeah, it's true, because it kind of sets the foundation, doesn't it? And it kind of like, you decide in those moments if you're standing up for yourself, if you're not, or if, you know, where you kind of sit. And also as well, the kind of thing like you say about if you go to an all-girls school, like, you don't have to worry about certain things. I'd actually say the opposite. As someone that went to a mixed school, I would honestly say it wasn't until I was probably about maybe 16, maybe I was a late bloomer, I don't know. But before that, honestly, because you were around them all the time, you just didn't really care. Like, I honestly could not have cared less if little Jimmy fancied me or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I back this. Like, I think, I don't know if I've said this before, but I say it anyway, but we were like, we were kept away from them, we were even worse. Like,
yeah, I bet you were like caged animals.
Yeah, and like, you know, when we started going to parties and things, like, we were wild, because we never really got to hang out with them in the same way. Like, we'd have little bits of it. So like, I would get the bus. So in the evening, in the morning, there would be like guys on the bus, but you wouldn't always sit next to them and stuff. Like, that was a whole thing in itself as to, like, you know, whether you'd sit next to them and all of that. But like, that was like, you know, half an hour or whatever. But yeah, I think it's, way, way worse. Makes you a lot more, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to, I was getting, there's a lot of words coming to my head, but I'm not going to use them to describe.
I was just amazing.
When I was that age.
I was looking at you thinking, she's got loads of words. She's just not sure whether to. to actually see it.
I can't say that we were absolutely gagging for it, because as a 14, 15-year-old, that is a horrific thing to say. So,
Sophie Brown.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
I was saying, no. We're not. It was more like, because we never saw them, we wanted to impress them. And almost because we weren't around them all the time, you didn't really know how to act. It was
I know what you mean.
It was all a massive game. Yeah, like it wasn't even like a sexual thing or whatever. It was more just like you were never around them and you wanted to impress them. And like if you got invited to like the parties and stuff, like I just remember just being so clueless, I think, as to like how to even act around guys.
Yeah, no, I know. And I also imagine as well, like, they kind of become this like mythical creature in your head, like not just in your normal day to day, especially if you don't have brothers. I imagine it would be even more so if you didn't have brothers.
Well, I have a brother, but
no, I know you do, to be fair. If we had got this far into this podcast and I didn't know that you had a brother, I think we're not doing it right.
I was just gonna be like, you have a brother and a sister, 100%.
Oh, well done.
Thank you. I almost forgot about your brother then. But I was like, nah.
I know. I think everyone forgets the boys, don't they? Bless them.
So our producer got us some, not some facts, but three key parts of difficult people. So this is interesting. What do you think they are, if you've not already read it?
I haven't. So what is it? What's the three key parts?
So this is from a blog and it's three key parts of difficult people. It says parts, but like almost like...
attributes.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say a difficult person is someone that doesn't listen, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe someone that is actively controversial, I would say, is quite a difficult person to be around. Yeah. Or someone that's actually just really bad at communicating. I think that's kind of up there.
Yeah. I mean, these three things, it's really interesting because they sound quite specific, but they actually kind of encapsulate everything. You got the communication. So poor communication, a lack of empathy and criticism, which sounds quite specific, but actually someone that cannot take criticism will never develop as a person, ever. No. So like if you are unable to take any type of criticism and take it, you know, constructively and then, you know, actually apply that in your life, because people are not always doing it in a rude way. It might just be like a tiny thing. If you never take that on board and you're just literally completely like blind to it, you will. Yeah, that is such a difficult person. It's frustrating in everyday life when people don't take on feedback.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think we actually live in a society now where there's this real like... we kind of touched on it before, that kind of like girl boss, like do your own thing, you know what's best for you, believe in yourself 1000%, which I do think, especially as females, we do need to do a lot more. But within that, there has to be like a sense of, I guess, staying humble. And I don't mean humble in the way that like you're going to play yourself down to make others feel bigger, because that's also a trait that women tend to do. But I mean more in the like, you're humble enough to know, listen, I haven't got all the answers and let me figure them out. And it's okay if I get it wrong. And it's okay if you tell me that I'm also getting it wrong, if you're doing it in my benefit and we're all kind of like working together. Whereas I do think there is a kind of sense of like, well, I'm going to do this no matter what you say. And in the way that I do it and say it, that's kind of like a weird narrative that's kind of going around now. And I just don't know that in everyday life, if that actually takes you that far, or if you're actually weirdly stumping your own growth.
Yeah. I'd also, a lack of empathy as well. I mean, that's, if you're not able to ever like kind of have any sympathy for other people, or like just not identify or kind of like, or almost disregard people's feelings, that causes a lot of friction as well.
Yeah, empathy is such a funny one, I think, because I mean, sometimes as well, it can be like if you're too empathetic, sometimes that can, it depends on your environment, I think. My mum's very empathetic. She's a nurse. She's very much like a giver. And, you know, and sometimes I'm like, it's to her own detriment. Do you know what I mean? Like she will put everyone above herself.
Yeah.
Because she feels everything that everyone else feels and carries it, you know, whereas I'm not as empathetic in that sense. But what I try and do is like try and like, how would I feel in that situation? And like, you know, try and be understanding, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's like they say, isn't it? Everything in moderation. Like if you're either end of the scale, it can be a bit of an issue. Like if you're, you know, overly like, you know, overly empathetic, or like overly communicate, you know, like almost to the point of like you're always checking in, like you're always, it's over the top, like all these things, like obviously everything in, yeah, in moderation. But okay, the same blog says how to actually deal with difficult people. So
oh, okay,
pay attention to how you react, stay calm, do your inner work.
That's what I said. I said, me and you, Soph, we have to work on that, didn't I?
Oh, told you. Look at that.
That was a joke when I said it, but it turns out it's true.
Wow, yeah, do your inner work. So, and your inner work meaning sometimes we see ourselves in others and there may be a root issue which isn't to do with them.
I feel like this is such a really difficult topic, I think, because it's such a case-by-case scenario. Yeah. And I think that actually everyone's going to have a completely different opinion on it, because someone that I would find is difficult, someone else might not. And someone that I think is just assertive, someone else might think is difficult. And like, yeah. I guess it's all based on the bar that you have. Also, something I've noticed is it also depends in like the environment that you're in. And I really noticed that when I moved from a big city like London to somewhere like Glasgow, I really noticed the way that people communicate is so different. I imagine when I went the other way around, when I moved from Glasgow to London, I would have felt the same thing, where I felt as if like in London communication, I think when I first moved there, I felt as if it was quite harsh. It was quite like not much empathy, you know, not much human in, you know, the conversations you're having, especially around work and things like that. And then when I've moved back, I'm like, oh, I need to actually kind of, I guess, make it a bit fluffier, I think is the way that I'm saying it. It's like if I'm sending an email, it's like I've got to make it a little bit fluffier than I would in London, rather than like, can I get picked up at X? I have to be like, hey, how are you? Because that's just how people communicate here, you know, like, and it's a much nicer way of communicating. But I think it really depends on your environment as well as like who you are as a person.
Yeah, no, 100%. You have to adapt, I think, as to where you are. And it is, I mean, this is a difficult topic, this, because difficult people, I mean, it's so, yeah, everybody is going to have different versions of like what that looks like. And there'll be people that think people are difficult that think that they're not. But I feel like, I think you just have to be like, understand who that is in your life, because ultimately it's only affecting you. So like, even if someone else doesn't think someone's difficult, but you're really struggling because they are a difficult person in your life, then it's up to you how you want to deal with that. It's not anyone else's feelings.
Yeah. And I think as well, I found myself in like a work situation where I was like, I can actually feel that like it's starting to impact me. So then what I did is just try to remove myself as much as I possibly could, because then it just gives you perspective. I think distance is really so much better with these things if you can create just a little bit of distance. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physically, you know, distancing yourself, but like maybe yeah. if everyone is kind of getting together on, you know, a Thursday night, Friday night, it's optional, and you are kind of feeling that way, it's like, just distance yourself a little. I'm actually not going to make it. I'm really sorry, guys. You know, like, and just yeah. allow that perspective to come in.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. It's difficult with work, because also a part of life is dealing with difficult people and having to kind of like overcome these things. And you learn a great deal as a person having to do that. But you don't want it to come at the detriment of like how you feel. But work is difficult. Obviously, if someone's affecting you that much, then something needs to be done. But I think you're right. Like, you can do certain things like, you know, trying to spend less time with them, or, you know, or even things like trying not to like put it out there. So like putting that bad energy out there. So like trying not to like, say you gossip about it to your friend all the time, or you like moaning all the something happens, you text your friend like da 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 da. Maybe just like trying not to give it the airtime, like not give that person your energy, because they just don't deserve it. And it might help just to like alleviate a bit of the, because I find that if something's annoyed me, I will want to like text my friends or whatever about it, because I do like to talk about things. But the thing is, then you're like, because what you might do is like text your friend, they don't reply in that moment, and then they reply like in the evening, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of over it by now, and you've brought it back up, and you're like, and then they reply then, and you're like, shit, now I'm annoyed again.
That is the most underrated advice ever, you know. I could not agree more with that. Honestly, it's so true. I've honestly, any situations I've found myself in that are pretty difficult in the last 6 months especially, I would say actually actively, like at one point I was like, I think I'm actually biting my tongue, like physically biting my tongue, like shut up, Robin, because otherwise it's going to drive you mad.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I had it recently where I texted my friend as soon as something had happened because I was pissed off. And she just did not give me the responses that I needed or that I wanted. Like, I wanted her to just agree with me and be like, oh my God, yeah, that is so annoying. Da, da, da. And she was just like, get up, like, do this. Like, she was like, you know, it doesn't even matter. Da, da, da. And I was like, it does. I was like, but it's rude. And she was just, I don't know. And then it made me even more annoyed, which is not her fault, but I should have just not flipping said anything and just got on with it and just tried to, like, you know, get over it myself. Because as soon as you involve other people, you don't know which way it's going to go.
You actually don't. You almost like lose control of it in a way. You lose control of the narrative.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not even, I think it's not even loads of advice I would give with dealing with difficult people. I mean, I say that, I feel like my mind's gone blank, you know, because it's a difficult topic, but I have dealt with so many difficult people and situations in my life, like so many, but I genuinely think it's one of those, like, as you deal with more, you get better at dealing with it. And there's not really like a foolproof way to react to these things. Like, and also you do just have to make mistakes sometimes, like overreacting to something, not even overreacting, or having a big reaction and then that not going well and you being like, okay, shit, maybe next time I just need to bite my tongue or whatever. Because even though it's really frustrating, it will help me in the long run. Like, it's sometimes better to be the person that's like, can't be bothered, I'm just stepping away from it.
Yeah, I know, you're so right. And when I used to like perform on stage and stuff, they used to always have this thing where they'd say, every cast has an asshole, and if you think your cast doesn't, it's probably you.
Yes. Yeah, funny. Yeah.
So it's just like, it is just a fact of life. There is always one.
And there are people that are just not the best people, and that's fine. And like, you know, you don't have to spend time with them. And if you do come across them in your life, then, you know, at least take something from it. Every experience is a bit of a learning curve. So if anything, take it as a way how not to treat people or act.
She's full of wholesome wisdom tonight. I love it.
I know. I don't know. I don't know. It's a, like I said, this is a difficult topic, difficult people. Because like I said, I've dealt with, you know, loads of people I have, everyone has, but so many times I've dealt with difficult people, so many, like working environments that's all males, like, you know, going on the show and everything, like everything. Even over summer, I had a housemate that ended up being, you know, an awful situation. And it's like, I think as you get older, again, that's an interesting one, like very bad judge of character I was there, because I had them come and enter my life and live in my flat when really I didn't know anything about them. And I just sort of assumed it'd be fine.
I know that. I think you actually learn, as well as you get older, that there's a reason people ask 1,000 questions. When I was younger, I was like, it's really not that deep. Just crack on, you know? But yeah. I think you become a little bit more jaded and you realize, oh, wait a minute, let me actually figure this out. I actually said to someone the other day about a work situation. I was going to go do like this new job, and the co-host that I was doing it with had just been like, yeah, sure, no worries, but they're a lot younger and less experienced, and not in a cruel way, but they are. And you know, there's 99.9% of the time every job is absolutely fine, but that 0.1% leaves you, meaning that you go into every job and you ask 1,000 questions because you're like, wait a minute, where's it going? What's happening? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's just, you've learned the hard way.
You never do it again. Like what happened over summer, unfortunately, it cost me loads of thousands of pounds. It cost me. And my dad was just, he didn't even have much sympathy. He's just like, it was a very expensive mistake. I was like, fair enough. It was unfair. Won't fucking do that again.
Yeah. Say that again, mate. I'll be on your couch anymore of it.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to, well, I feel like it'd be good to, I don't even know if you could get a guest on this, but it's an interesting one. If you're listening and you've got any like stories about difficult people or how you've dealt with them, please send them in, because I'm really intrigued as to what anyone else's advice is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess thank you so much for listening. That's gone so fast, Soph, as always. And we're going to be back again on Friday for our Extra Lippy, which is our bonus episode, which is basically where we dive into your dilemmas and anything that you want to chat about. And we've had some really juicy ones, so keep them coming.
Yes, please do. And you can send them just to the Instagram at the Loose Lips Podcast or contact at loose. What's the email, Robin?
This is every single episode. That's what I love. So you can email us contact@looselipspodcast.com.
Thank you. Sorry about that, guys. Or you can get us on our personal Instagrams, which is at Sophie H.L. Brown or at Robin Richford with a Y.
I love that you say with a Y. All right, see you next week. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.